Thank the Lord for the day, for this opportunity. Be here in service this morning with you and trust the Lord to bless these moments and ask for your prayers. Lately, we have been having some conversation about, and Lord burdened me concerning the Passover and the Exodus from the land of Egypt, the miraculous deliverance that was that God gave to His children, the covenant He had made with them, and He brought them out of Egypt. And we've made discussion about Egypt being a type of sin. And I believe last Sunday we spoke about the gods of Egypt, the gods of sin. And this morning, I'd like to pick up in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And if you'll allow me and give the patience for the reading, there's a lot of reading in this chapter. It's 31 verses. But I'd like to read this chapter, and then we'll go back and pick up some points to comment on. Before we do read that passage in Exodus, let's turn to the book of Revelation, pick up in chapter 20, a few verses. I'd like to maybe set the stage here. We had a little, just a little lesson last Sunday evening and Wednesday evening in the book of Revelation. Spent a little time there. But in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 7 through 10, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." In these verses, as I understand the interpretation of it, when the 1,000 years are expired, the long time that Satan has been bound, he's loosed out of his prison. We're living in that time now, where the enemy of our souls has been loosed from the chains that have been put on him for a long, long time. And I have had the question before in my mind, Lord, what would it take for all Christians, nominal Christians, to be able to come together as one? What would it take? I don't know. And I don't have much confidence that that ever can or will take place. I say that because of the direction things are going in our world today. And I believe it has to do with this 8th verse. "The power of Satan, being loose, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth," which means to me, all areas, nothing left undone. "Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea." That the forces of evil, the forces that would do everything it could possibly do to derail Christianity, will be turned loose against Christianity, to do everything that ever possibly could be done to stamp it out. But thank God, the Scripture tells us that they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Before it gets to the point that it looks as if it's absolutely hopeless, that there can be no escape, God will return. Fire will come down from God out of heaven, and He will redeem His children. This morning, my little burden is take courage. Jesus said in His Word, in His own words, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Yes, He has been resurrected from that tomb and ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. But He has never forsaken His children. He has never turned His back on His children, on those who claim the name of Christ. He has never and will never turn His back on them. In this book of Exodus, as I've been reading it recently, in this chapter 14, there's some things that I find that are so absolutely beautiful in it that I hope, by the help of the Lord, to be able to bring out. Understanding and realizing that, as we said from the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul writing to his people, that the law was a shadow of things to come. It wasn't the very image itself, but it was a shadow of the things to come. And I believe in this book of Exodus today, in this chapter 14, there is a beautiful story of the redemption that God has for His people. Egypt being a type of sin, God performed a miraculous delivery for them to be able to leave that land of Egypt. We're going to pick up here today as they have left Egypt. They are on their way, on their encampment, and we find, on their journey rather, and we remember that when Moses went to Pharaoh first, he said, let my people go. God has said, let my people go that they may serve me. The conditions were 3 days' journey into the wilderness. 3 days. As we read in this chapter, we'll find apparently Pharaoh wakes up to the reality that it looks like they're not coming back. They're not just going to be gone for 3 days. They're gone. And they're not coming back. And he pursues after them. Exodus chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. It's his indication that he's waking up to the reality that they're gone. They don't have intention to come back. This 3 days, they've left. Remember, they spoiled the Egyptians. They took many valuable things, went to them, and they were freely able, were willing to turn loose the things. Just please get out of here. Because the firstborn of every house is dead. The firstborn of beasts is dead. Just please leave the land. Take these things and go. So Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, his army, overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Would it have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked at the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. And all the host of Pharaoh that came in at the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of Egyptians, hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Chapter of book of Exodus 14. This was a show of the power, demonstration of the power of an Almighty God. Remember that these Israelites had been slaves in this land of Egypt for a long time. Egypt being the type of sin, now they are delivered from that land of bondage, and they are making their escape. Have you ever, in the time of your escape from sin, felt that the enemy was pursuing hard after you to try to reclaim you? I have. Have you ever felt that it was almost too much? It was just overwhelming to see the power that the enemy would throw out after you to do everything that he could possibly do to take your courage away from you, to make you feel as though there was no hope and there was no way that there was going to be any deliverance. Things looked absolutely stacked against you. Well, I've experienced that. I feel sure that you have too. I'd like to read to you a definition of this word courage. That quality of mind, which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution. to be able to face danger. I want us today, folks, to have reading the Word of God, understanding that this book of Exodus and the types and shadows of this system, the law of what God did for them, is an indication of what is to come for you and me, of deliverance. Take courage for that, because when it appears as though we're absolutely hemmed in, when it looks as though that there is no way for Christianity, true Christians, to be able to escape, that there is no hope. Remember what the book of Revelation said? Fire came down from heaven. Fire came down from God out of heaven, and it destroyed them. And the ultimate end of the adversary was that he was cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Let's never forget that. That we serve a risen Savior, and we serve a God who has the ultimate power and authority. And the Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. No man will lift his nose high against the God of all creation. No man will have a neck stiff enough to withstand the power and the strength and the might of the God that spoke all things into existence. No human force, no human power, no human intellect will be able to stand in the face of that. God is not mocked. God will have no one to raise the nose at Him with insult, disdain. It will not be. He gives us a will and the ability to make our choices in life, of course. He honors and respects that, but He will have the final say. No matter where I may go, no matter what choices I may make in life, the Lord will honor those and respect those. But remember, He says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now here in the 10th verse of this chapter 14, the Scripture tells us that the Israelites were sore afraid. I can imagine that. Because we've made our escape from the land of Egypt, we don't know what to expect. We have no idea of what things lay before us. But we do know this. We've seen Pharaoh and his armies. We've seen his horses and his chariots. And we know that this man Pharaoh has strength and might and power. And we also know that we are a wandering clan in this wilderness, and we don't have weapons of warfare. We have nothing like that that we can turn and fight. They were sore afraid. I'll tell you, folks, the enemy of your soul is going to do everything he can to amplify those things around us to make it look like there is absolutely no hope and no escape. That's the way it was here. I believe in this book of Exodus. I've read this chapter 14, and I said, Lord, help me to take courage. Help me to know that You have a miraculous deliverance for Your children. Help me, Lord, to see and understand that, as it says there in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, that when it looks as though there is absolutely no way to escape, that You are the one who provides a way out. They came up against the sea. The Lord said, I'm not going to send them by the way of the Philistines, because if you in the chapter 13, I believe is where it says, I'm not going to send them that way, because if they have to go to war immediately, they're not going to be able to have courage to deal with that. So I'm going to send them this direction, through the wilderness of ways, and they're going to come up against this sea, and I'm going to have honor on Pharaoh. I will have honor on this man Pharaoh. He will have honor against the captain of sin, folks. The enemy of our souls is a defeated foe. God will have honor against the captain of sin. He will conquer. He will destroy. So they come to this place, and they look around, and they see the Egyptians pursuing them. Moses, why did You do this to us? Why did You bring us out here in this wilderness? Here we are with nowhere to look at the sea. It's ahead of us. We can't go across there. Look what's behind us. We're hemmed in, Moses. We're in a desperate place. There's nowhere for us to go. And I say to us, folks, it may be possible that you and I may experience things similar to this, where it looks as though there is no escape. There is no way out. But take courage. The same God that through a type delivered this Israelite nation is the very same God that is capable and will deliver you and me and all of His children. All of His redeemed children will be saved by the hand and the power of God. He's done it throughout generations. When it looked as though there was no way out, He spoke, He saved those who were taken to the stake, those who were burned at the stake, those who were crucified. He made it possible for them to endure that and gave them power and victory over their feelings, over their emotions, where they were capable and able to go through it with victory. Did you bring us out here, Moses, because there were no graves? Did you bring us out here, Moses, because there was nothing for us back in Egypt? I'll tell you, I wonder sometimes if we're not tempted and prone to think back, look back. I don't know about it today, but I do wonder this. If there's not a time coming where the screws are only going to get so tight that there will be a cry coming up from the heart of the people, God's children, Lord, where do we go next? We're hemmed in on every side. There is nowhere I can go, Father. Those that I used to think were sympathetic to my cause, who called themselves Christians, now they are allied against me, Gog and Magog. I'll tell you, folks, the enemy of our souls. We studied this last Wednesday evening about the papal Rome, pagan Rome, and Protestantism, how they all find their source of power and energy from the dragon, the first beast. They all find their source there. May God help us to realize and understand that our only hope is in one God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, in His Word. And holding fast to His Word, and reaching hard toward Him, and holding fast to Him, that's our hope. Moses said to them in verse 13, "Stand still. Don't be afraid. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You hold your peace." Verse 19. "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them." He removed and went behind them. Whenever, here was the case. Pharaoh and his army are pursuing hard. And the angel of God, looking down upon this situation, sees the case. And the Scripture tells me, look in this verse, folks. Look at the wording here. "The angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night." When they were hemmed in, the angel of God, and as I have understood this, reading, studying to it, looking to it, reading the commentaries about it, they tend to agree that this was Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, showing power and might of deliverance for His people. Doesn't say that He appeared in a physical form. He was in the cloud. And He went before them to lead them. I have to say that in my mind I concur with this, because who else is a captain of salvation except Jesus Christ? He's the one that purchased salvation. And here in my mind is a type of Jesus Christ. There He is. There they are, hemmed in trouble, in desperate situation. And the only hope they have is a deliverer. And the only hope that you and I have in this world in which we live today, folks, and the new covenant, is our deliverer. Who is our deliverer? It is Christ Jesus the Lord, who purchased with His own blood salvation. So here they are in this desperate place. And it says the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed. He did not. Now He was not in that place where He was leading them forward. He stopped. He saw their plight. He saw their situation. He removed and went behind them. I'll tell you, folks, we have a loving God, a loving Savior. But when He unleashes His power and His wrath against sin, what was Egypt a type of sin? Who was Pharaoh, the captain of Egypt? The king of Egypt. Who is God saying, I'm going to have honor against? I'm going to have honor on this man, Pharaoh. I'm going to remove myself from leading these people now, and I'm going to turn myself to the rear, and I'm going to defend them. I'm going to take care of these people. I made a miraculous delivery for them. I made it possible for them to escape. Now I'm going to make sure that they execute this escape. I will be the one to make the difference, to make the change. So He went from before them and stood behind them. Verse 24. It came to pass in the morning watch, sometime between the hours of 3 and 6 a.m. That's my understanding. Came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. I wonder what that was like when the Lord God looked through that pillar of fire and cloud. He looked to the host of the Egyptians. If you look in the book of Psalm 77, I won't turn and read that, but just a couple of verses there. It speaks about the Lord leading His people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And it speaks about the clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. The arrows went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. Lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. The Lord looked from the cloud. The Lord, there's a lot more in this than the Lord just looking from that cloud. It says, He looked unto the host of the Egyptians, to the pillar of the cloud, and troubled them. I can only imagine what took place here, folks. Remember who these people were. Remember what they were using. Horses and chariots. Men driving the horses and the chariots. Now, when you get into a situation where a wall of water on either side, and you're in the sea, and suddenly the Lord turns His face around from leading, now I'm going to defend my people and I'm going to trouble them. I'm going to look from this pillar of fire and pillar of cloud that I have established as a means of distinction between them. And now it's time for me to turn my face and do my work. And I'm going to have honor upon this man, Pharaoh, upon this sin. Folks, he will have honor on his hand against sin. He will conquer sin. The Scripture tells us He went forth conquering and to conquer. We have a captain of our salvation who is a conquering captain. When He turned His face there and looked out of that cloud, He turned loose the torrents of heaven against these Egyptians, against sin. What does the Scripture say in the book of Revelation? Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. In this, I believe God is giving us a picture, a type of what is to come at the end of time, how He will redeem His people. Fire came down from heaven. Here it says that He troubled them. He troubled them. He looked through that cloud. He looked. What is it, typically do we have in a cloud, folks? What do we hear this morning? Did you hear the thunder? Did you hear the rumbling outside? Did you hear the rain falling down? Did you hear the crackling over the speakers of the static from the lightning that was going around? Those are the things that come out of that cloud. God troubled those Egyptians, those men who were driving those horses and chariots. I can only imagine what took place, that those horses, when all of this took place, the lightning bolts, hailstones, whatever it was that took place, that the horses were panicked. Frightened, scared, rearing up on their hind legs, rearing up into the air, turning and running over one another, throwing the drivers out of the chariots, them trying to keep their feet, trying to keep order, trying to keep things together. Folks, when God turns loose His power and His fury, they're a confused mess. There was no way for them to win. The wheels came off of their chariots. They couldn't go anywhere, and they said, "Let us flee. Let us flee from the face of Israel." What does the Scripture say in the book of Revelation? There was no place found for them. They fled from before the face of the Almighty. There was no place found for them. Let us flee. Let's get away from here. Let's get out of this thing. We're in trouble. We have nowhere to go. Look at us. We're in the midst of this sea. The horses and chariots, we're a confused mass. We can't go forward. We can't go backward. The horses are running over us. We're running over one another. The wheels are coming off our chariots. Let's get out of here. Let's get away from here. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again to the Egyptian upon their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. Take courage today, child of God. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a seer. I do not know what is to come. Except in my own mind, I think. I've had my prayer. Lord, what would it take for all Christians to be united as one? I don't have much faith that that will ever take place, because I see Christianity slowly eroding, slowly taking away the things that they once stood for and held fast to. I see them making allowance for alternative lifestyles. I see them making allowance for those things, not only making allowance for that in the congregations, but making allowance for it in the leadership, making allowance for it in the priesthood. I see those kinds of things that's happening in the religious world around us. Gog and Magog. Satan being loosed out of his prison for a while. Unleashing his power. And I say to us, folks, our only hope for redemption is in the blood of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But that is our hope. It's not as though that's our only hope. It is our hope. It is our hope, because when we have that blood applied, as those Israelites did when they left the land of Egypt, on the Passover we talked about it, how important it was for them to have the blood applied because the death angel passed through the land. When the death angel passed through the land, the firstborn in every house passed away. Except in the land of Goshen, where the blood was over the doorposts and the lintels of the house. And the Israelites were able to escape that awful judgment of God. They made their way out of that land. Does it mean that we will always, folks, are we always going to look around and see everything looking victorious for us? No. Has it always looked that way for Christianity? No. Have they gone through some awful times of persecution? Yes. Are we any better than those before us? No. Can we anticipate that we might have some of those very same kinds of things to deal with in our lives? Yes. I'm not trying to scare anyone here today. I want us to take courage. I want us to know that we can be on the winning side. I want us to know that the God that said, I'm going to save my people, I'm going to remove from going forward with them in this pillar of cloud and fire, and I'm going to turn my face around. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. I will get me honor upon the captain of sin. He will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever. The enemy of our souls has absolute, certain doom and destruction. The child of God has hope for eternal life. And it's more than just a hope, folks. It is an assurance. It is an assurance that if we stay hitched up with the Lord God, the captain of our salvation, He will be our deliverer, and He will make it possible for us to escape the damnation of hell. Take courage, my brother, sister. Hold fast. Hold tight. Don't be lazy. Don't be reckless. Don't be careless. It is our hope. It is our deliverance. You pray for me. God bless. Amen.